She's a marketing maven. She has defined the marketing strategies for some of South Africa's biggest companies. But here at High FM, we just call her Dina Diamond. This is Monday Marketing.
Dina Diamond. So you and I got into a conversation on a webinar last week, which was really, really fascinating. And we were talking about the change in consumer behavior around COVID-19 and what the expectation is. And we had some AI experts on. It was a very, very interesting conversation. But there was so much more to talk about. And I wanted to continue that conversation with you. So obviously anybody that wasn't part of that webinar, give us the overall picture of what this is looking like from a consumer branding behavior at the moment, given where we are with COVID-19.
Sure. Okay, Howard. Yes, so you did a brilliant job at hosting that webinar give you a little kudos.
Thank you.
It seems like quite unanimous that there's definitely going to be a shift in consumer behavior, in brand behavior, how marketers look at their ads and how they look at their segments going forward from COVID. Because obviously people thought in the beginning this was going to be quite short-lived, that countries were under lockdown. We thought supposedly for 3 weeks. The laugh was on all of us. So the brand started out, and organizations started out by, you know, that their social marketing saying keep your distance, hashtag stay home. Burger King changed their sign, home of the Whopper, to took off the Whopper and said stay home. The golden arches for McDonald's in Brazil were separated. Coca-Cola even separated their letters in Times Square. And that was sort of the beginning. And then brands realized, you know what, we're actually in here sort of for the long haul. How do we start talking to consumers? So they had to actually start looking at how they are actually sort of, what are the current messages that are out there? So anything that wasn't relevant had to be taken off. So any, you know, like automated responses, any of that maybe was insensitive or not aligned to kind of where the consumers are and where we are in the world, had to be changed. Other potential ads were put on hold. Anything there, any ad that was sort of even shot with people hugging or mass gatherings had to be canned because, clearly those aren't very appropriate at the moment.
Right, yes.
So there's a lot to consider. And then also there was a big conversation about digital and online versus physical shopping. And it was also quite agreed. I mean, I think your representative that was there from Pick and Pay was outstanding. Mm. I mean, very much seemed to have his hand, or finger on the pulse in terms of what's sort of going on. And what I liked, what he said was that he referred to Black Friday for
Every day running. That was incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's how they had to literally scale up. I mean, if we saw how the shelves sort of were bare and there was this panic buying, we see that obviously did go on for a while, and we saw it, I mean, particularly more in Australia, even for some reason on the toilet paper, but we won't talk about the Australians.
Shame, and now they're in lockdown. Imagine, I wonder if they can eventually get through their toilet paper.
Yeah, are they going to stockpile toilet paper again?
Well, somebody sent me this yesterday. Sent me this yesterday. I know it was months ago, but I still don't like how you acted over toilet paper.
I love that. Yeah.
But Victoria's back again under lockdown. So I think you're going to see it again. Apparently it is happening again.
Kim Fine says, I've become such a hoarder in lockdown. There are basic products missing on the shelves, and when I see them, I just buy 8.
Wow. Yeah, so she's not alone. She is not alone. Mm. That panic buying pushed up online shopping. It pushed up retail massively. We saw like huge spikes, like over 20% in retail because of that panic buying. So even though the retailers were worried about sort of the purchasing and people not buying things that they needed or couldn't afford potentially anymore, and there was a mass spike in buying. Over 80% of searches on Google. So there was an 80% surge in searches on Google for online grocery, which is massive. I mean, it's just crazy. Yeah. Over 44% of consumers who've never shopped online started shopping online because they had no choice or were scared. So we saw a massive, massive shift from potentially older clients or older people that would not necessarily ever shop online, they had no choice. They decided to go online, and those shopping behaviors are going to sort of carry on, I think, definitely into the future, because it created an accessibility and a use that people never had before.
What's interesting as well to me is that people seem to forget that online shopping relies on this incredible amount of infrastructure behind the scenes. It's not a magical thing that happens between your computer and the computer at the company that you are buying from. They need to have stock. They need to have delivery. They need to be able to fulfill orders. So it's actually an incredible amount of infrastructure that facilitates online trading. The only difference is that we're not going physically to those stores. And I think that sometimes we forget that. And that's where I know that Takealot had a lot of issues. We get a lot of complaints here about Woolworths, where people put in their orders, they only can get a delivery in I don't know, a week's time. They say, okay, fine, they'll do that. And then it gets canceled because the store supposedly gets closed where it was going to be filled from, etc. So there's been a lot of learning, I think, within the South African environment that I'm not sure we've got right yet.
Absolutely. And again, that was also mentioned on the webinar this week. The fulfillment aspect is absolutely massive, because no matter how much you have a great portal, no matter how much your sort of website even sort of geared to the online shopping, if you can't fulfill it from a stock level, from a delivery level, then you've got a problem. And also consumers want it now. I mean, we're in the sort of immediate demand economy and people want whatever they want right now. And I think that's where we've seen a massive surge. The courier companies, for example, there's been a massive interest in the courier companies. They've upskilled that even so they were hiring. You've got to have vans or bikes to be able to do that as well. They were also showing that even the delivery, restaurants that now started doing delivery, they've also got to have new protocols in place. We've also seen a huge change in people's in the actual paying behavior. So whereas people now, before you would cash, it wouldn't be a problem. Now people don't actually want to touch cash. So we've seen that there's actually a change in people actually using credit cards or
definitely
sort of tap technology. And people don't want to touch physical cash. So in terms of preferring electronic payment, 66% of people now prefer to pay with electronic means versus cash. So they even had to gear up with that. So machines potentially that couldn't take tap cards, that had to be sort of changed.
So really what it does is it forces innovation. It forces you to take that step that you might have not been ready to take. I mean, if you're a coffee place and you took cash and that's just how you managed, you actually really now had no choice but to engage in the next level of sophistication or of innovation.
Absolutely. And also even terms of just the percentages. So there's Kantar that does sort of surveys. So we actually have research from a South African point of view that we don't often have. And they said that now 22% of shoppers prefer now to shop online. And then 42% of people under 35 are shopping less often in physical outlets, which is quite interesting because sort of that's an age group that really didn't mind going out and running around. But that's actually now pushing. We can see much more to online. 35% of people are shopping in physical locations less. So 35% of people are shopping in physical locations. And 48% of people are avoiding big malls and superstores.
Right.
So there is definitely a shift and change in purchasing behavior, in buying behavior. And we need to be, as you say, able to fulfill it. And when you look at America and the dense populations, you've got the likes of Amazon, because there's such a concentration of people in areas that they've already up the infrastructure levels to cater to. South Africa's not necessarily there yet.
What's also interesting to me is it's not only on that level, but public sentiment is important. So, and that changes so quickly, which means that the advertising, the marketing message needs to be so, I keep using this word agile, but it really does need to be agile, because today, whereas a few weeks ago it might have been about togetherness and having the best time together, now it's not. Now it's a different time. And this keeps changing. Our sentiments keep changing all the time, which means we can be quite put off, and again, I don't want to use the word offended because that's just irritating, but we could be quite offended by a marketing message that comes out today, that might have been produced 3 months ago, but somehow just doesn't talk to where we are emotionally, psychologically, and in this process.
Absolutely. It doesn't resonate with the consumers. So brands have to be extremely, extremely careful with that. And honestly, you have to have your finger on the pulse continuously. You can't actually now plan for an ad that you're going to launch in a month or two because it's actually too far in the future on the horizon because we actually don't know where we're going to be. As we've seen, and what we've learned from COVID is absolutely nothing is predictable, nothing. And the only change, the only thing that is constant is change. And messages from marketing firms, from big brands, have to be so on point and so sensitive to consumers because consumers are really sensitive at the moment. In the beginning, people were so excited. Things were going online, like yoga.
We embraced it.
I think also it's not just companies and stores. I think with personal branding as well, when it comes to celebrities, for example, the content that you maybe, you know, that you gave us 3 months ago isn't really relevant right
Absolutely.
Now. I actually watched a reality TV show by Bonang, and I mean, in terms of personal branding, she's one of my favorites. But she, there was a new show that premiered this past weekend. And just the content, I think we demand more in terms of content from brands and from, you know, celebrities as well, because the content was okay, I think, for last year, if she had released this reality show last year or maybe in January. But now, because we demand so much from brands, I was just bored. And I was just this is so irrelevant.
And it's got to be relevant. That is so interesting. Kim Tobias says, how does the ANC's marketing campaign of corruption work for them in terms of, in light of COVID?
Oh, I think that's insane. I think it's maybe a little bit too little too late, I think, in their case.
Yeah.
And also, like, all of a sudden, what happened to the 500 billion? So where is that? So now they're upset about corruption. Now they're going to go look what's happening. I mean, I think that they are just trying a little too late.
Yeah,
like, they've lost faith of the people.
And
I think also Cyril, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, he has. There's so little faith and there's so much anger around corruption at the moment. Chachamora says people are in survival mode. It's like going through... It's almost like going through a war. And I think it is. I think that's where people that are marketing and branding well and with relevance are talking to that, are talking to what people are going through. And as you say, Zanati, it's things that you can relate to. It can't be just something that is irrelevant at the moment because we've got a very specific focus.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you have to, the brands have to be very careful about tone, and tone deafness is what's going to get brands into trouble.
So was, Zanati, was Bonang tone deaf or was it just irrelevant?
Irrelevant, Howard. Mm. And as I'm saying, like, you can't just be talking about, you know,
shoes.
Literally, you cannot just be talking about shoes. And a whole hour, I felt like I wasted data and my time for a whole hour.
That's annoying.
And you know, she's honestly my favorite celebrity in South Africa, but I was completely disappointed. And I just need more. We need more.
So you wanted, what did you want? So what did you want from her is substance.
Substance,
you wanted,
exactly.
You wanted something that spoke to you.
Yes.
And didn't just talk about the dressings.
Exactly.
And you know what? Yeah, South African, 98% of South African consumers have said they want to be marketed to. They want to be spoken to by brands. But it has to be relevant and it has to speak to them. It can't be just random messaging. We're with you. We hear for you. I mean, that's way too out there. Like, no one even wants to hear that. Don't waste, exactly like Zanati, don't waste my time. Don't fill up my mailbox. Don't send me huge emails that I can't even get through. Send me something that talks to me, that's relevant for me. Send me special offers. Send me discounts. Send me experiences. I mean, you've seen a huge shift here for brands that are taking consumers on experiential journeys, giving free content because they're understanding where consumers are and they need to be entertained. They need to be given deals. You need to relate to their circumstances. Right. And that is exactly, as you're saying with Bonang, where that just fell flat completely.
Can you think of a South African brand that has done this well?
I think Pick and Pay actually did this quite well where they actually had a campaign which said don't let shoppers, you know, don't let your friends drive drunk. It was like, don't let your friends panic buy. They actually came out with
the
a campaign.
The other thing
that they did,
the other thing, if I remember correctly, is they had different hours or extended hours for older members of the community. I don't know if they still do that, but they had that towards the beginning, sort of to keep an eye to do something sensitive for to be sensitive to the older shoppers.
Yeah, and it showed that they knew they had different segments of customers, mm-hmm. and they've got mm-hmm. to actually cater for them. And older shoppers obviously are more at higher risk than anyone else, and for them to have a separate hour for them to come in is actually, it was a very clever, very simple, but very effective marketing tool.
Yeah, and I guess that's what people want, is they don't, maybe they don't want you to be too clever at a time like this.
Yeah, because why are you being clever? It's almost too clever, exactly. It's like you're trying too hard.
Because even Nando's been quiet.
They have
been quite. They had a brilliant campaign and I can't think what their phrase was, right in the beginning about staying home.
Yes.
But I don't remember beyond that.
But I think they've done well with keeping quiet because, as you said, you can't be too clever as well. During this time.
No, definitely not. Very, very interesting. So Dina, before I let you go, where does this go? What do you foresee happening in our, in the South African shopping or retail environment coming up?
So I think that, consumers are definitely going to be are definitely going to be continuing with the digital trend. Mm. I think that the physical outlets aren't going to disappear because people actually like going out. They like going to malls. But whilst the levels of infection are still very high, people don't want to go out. They've been home and they've actually got used to being home, which I don't think people thought they would be in the beginning. But because it's been such an extended period, people are used to staying home and are used to buying online. So there will definitely be a gradual movement back into retail as shops open and there's more sort of opportunities to go out. But I definitely think that there will be a higher level of engagement on digital platforms and a higher level of online purchasing. And potentially the physical environment will change where outlets will have to have more space. There will have to be more hygiene protocols put in place. And if you are sure that those places are hygienic and secure, then you will go there. But I do think that there still will be a greater shift online.
Absolutely right. It is 8:32. Dina Diamond, thank you. As always, from retail during COVID, we're going to be talking about terrorism during COVID with Mary Sversky. She'll be joining us in around about 5 minutes.